Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, a review podcast for the CW's The Flash. I'm Stephen Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
And we are members of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/League of Ordinary Gents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or you can look us up on YouTube by searching League of Gents. There we have our very own podcast. All right, and we're here for filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. If you're new to the podcast, what we do is we talk about every week's current episode of The Flash. This week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 7, Guerrilla Warfare. Aptly named because, man, I was waiting to see when Gorilla Grodd was going to come back, dude.
Yeah, Gorilla Grodd is it's pretty much one of the best villains that The Flash has. Unlike any other speedster, he's not even a human being. He's a gorilla, a giant, intelligent gorilla.
A giant, super... Well, okay, so from what I know of Gorilla Grodd, he's like he's obviously a supervillain, but in this one, it's sort of... It's like the origins of Grodd, where he's not necessarily a villain. He's just sort of misunderstood, and that's kind of what the whole episode... that's kind of what it all just sort of leads to with Caitlin trying to relate to him.
Yeah, it's three... This episode's like three quarters Caitlin and Grodd conflict with a quarter of Barry trying to get over what's going on.
You know, and I think about it, it's like it's very Caitlin heavy because from the very beginning, Caitlin's the one that's pushing for Harrison Wells to stay. She's the one that keeps telling you like, okay, everyone, I know you guys are uneasy, but he's really the only person we have to stop Zoom. Like he's the only chance. Like if Harrison Wells goes back alone, he doesn't stand much of a chance, obviously. But if he stays here, there's a better chance of him actually helping us succeed.
Oh yeah, there is. And as you can see, because since now that Jake Garrick's not in the picture, which is mainly their only help that they actually had to trying to stop Zoom, now Harrison Wells feels that it's a complete failure. Now that's why he's leaving. But yeah, Caitlin seems to step in more, which is great because this actually shows more of a side that they can actually write for Caitlin as well, because she is an intelligent person. She's actually a great character. It's the fact that we finally get to see her in a leadership role too, since now that Harrison Wells, the original one's dead, and then Barry's kind of down on his luck.
You know what's funny is that a lot of this episode was based heavily on intelligence, whether it was Grodd's intelligence, Caitlin's intelligence, Harrison Wells, and just like we need him. Not it's like we don't need just sheer strength. We don't need superpowers. Like we really should use our mental capacities. Even there's a scene where Joe tells Barry, like, well, no, just use your head, man. Mm-hmm.
Try to figure out where he's at.
And that's something that we don't get in The Flash too much is the fact that Barry is a very intelligent individual. It's just most of the time he kind of sits back because I think he's nestled between characters that are obviously way more intelligent than he is. Or at least not necessarily more intelligent, but at least more knowing of the subject that he's dealing with.
Yeah. Well, then again, though, I see them all as mentally superior equals. Caitlin, was it a geneticist, I'm assuming. Cisco is pretty much a tech engineer. Barry's a forensic scientist, and there's a lot of science that goes down to that as well. So you have to be really intelligent because of that stuff.
Yeah, I always think that Barry's intelligence sort of takes a back seat, and I've always thought it's because of the characters he's around. Obviously, he's around like geniuses at all times, so it sort of like overshadows his own intelligence. But this whole episode was really great for that because you do see something different about Barry, and you get to well, like I've always said, it's always nice to see character progression and character complexity, although. Despite the fact that we did see a lot of that progression in Barry, I think one of the coolest things was that we saw that in their relationship with Harrison Wells, in that they were all more willing to trust him this whole episode.
Yeah, because it's pretty much this. Their main hero was paraded across the street, pretty much destroyed.
Broken, completely broken. Yes,
he's recovering. They've told him, your body is fine. You're pretty much are healed now. The only thing is your power is still not there yet. But you can start actually trying to get back up. And then he pretty much just stays down the whole time. So that's when they're pretty much pointing up to Harrison Wells. Like, well, we need your help to think of something that we can actually do to try to stop him. But that kind of takes like a small backseat to when he, Harrison Wells is leaving, he goes to like a bar area. You can see him. He's writing down paper about all these breaches and where he's gonna actually. Originally he was using that to see where all those lead, so he can actually figure out which one he can go to get back home a lot easier. But that's when Caitlin pretty much steps in and is like, "Well, we should do something. We should really do something, or just close them all off because so you don't have to come back, or we just trap you here forever." And that's when they get that bright idea where it's like, "Wait, we could close them,
and we could send Grodd over." one of the things that was really interesting is when Grodd takes Caitlin, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but it really felt like a little nod to King Kong, including what Caitlin was wearing, the white ensemble that she had on.
Yeah.
It just reminded me a ton of King Kong. Like I don't know if that's just a little thing that was thrown in there, but to me, that's what came up.
It could be a small little Easter egg.
Yeah. Well, it's not even much of an Easter egg. It's just blatantly out there. But what happens is Cisco ends up going on a date with the barista, and when she first touches him, he gets a vibe, and initially what he sees is just like a winged figure, and he kind of he figures, okay, well, this is a metahuman. Mm-hmm. This is probably someone that's around town. He doesn't really suspect her.
Ooh, excuse me. Kendra Saunders. She is going to play a giant role. I mentioned it a while. We've both actually mentioned it a while ago from, I think it was the third one when she was first introduced.
Yeah, because the way they introduced the character is just, there's too much focus on her and on her name. And even if you're not a fan of the comics and you don't know, you kind of do get that vibe of like, yeah, she matters for some reason.
Yeah, and this is where it actually plays, where Cisco's vibe actually comes in, and this is actually what she's going to be portraying from here on out. Now, they didn't mention the name, but I know we're all thinking about it too. Like, honestly, we are.
Hot girl?
Yep, hot girl.
And with, you know, Heroes, or Legends of Tomorrow, I mean, mm-hmm. just around the corner, it's sort of, you're seeing these little seeds being planted mm-hmm. here and there. Both in The Flash and in the Arrow TV show.
Yeah, if most of you guys didn't catch the trailer for the 8th episode of Arrow, yeah, that's the cross-up. So she's going to be playing a huge role in that one.
Oh, man. See, I can't wait to see that stuff, man. I think the best episodes in these shows, while they're great individually, the best episodes have always mm-hmm. been the crossover episodes, man. Seeing how they both interact in each other's world.
Yeah, but it sucks that we have to wait an extra week because next week there's no episode of Flash and Arrow.
So going back to the Flash, and, you know, it's interesting because this whole season there's been – Barry has had sort of hang-ups several times this season. Like when at the beginning of the season when he's unsure about himself because he couldn't really – do anything to save Ronnie, and now he's unsure about himself again because he wasn't really able to do anything against Zoom, and he's really shown as this like it's like his confidence isn't particularly strong because don't get me wrong, yeah, he went through a traumatic thing, but it doesn't take a lot to shake him, and it feels like this is the second time in this season that they sort of utilize that same plot device.
Well, I actually do like how they actually implemented that in most comic book series as well. I like to take, I'm going to take Spider-Man for instance, Uncle Ben's death. He let the killer go. Well, he didn't know he was the killer. It was just some guy robbing, and his uncle dies, and then they found out where he's at. And guess turns out that guy that was robbing them ends up being the killer of his uncle. So that was a traumatic experience for him. He's like, if I stopped him, I would have prevented this. It's the same thing with this one. If I just waited, this probably would not have happened of me actually being broken down. He's only been a hero for about, like, what, almost a year? So he's still trying to figure out most of the stuff that's going on. But he needs to realize, he's actually realizing, too, these guys have been villains for a lot longer than I actually have been a hero.
You know what's interesting is to see him realize it's like, he has all these characters around him always telling him that he has unlimited potential and unlimited power and there's no end to what he can do. But that's why I like Zoom so much, is that he came out of nowhere and he was like, nah, you have your limits and I surpass them. Mm-hmm. And he just broke him completely. And, you know, it's interesting for that character to kind of realize that, like, okay, yeah, I have a lot of support around me, but at the end of the day, I might need more than just, you know, just helping words here and there.
Oh yeah, this is one of those times where it happens to every hero that I've read in the comic books. he has to continue going forward, because this is the one episode where it shows a lot of hard emotion just coming out of him, that, and it's instilling a lot of fear in him too to actually continue, which is actually really good a way of actually showing that.
You know, it reminds me of what like Harrison Wells, the criticism he had for Jay Garrick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're afraid of him, you couldn't do this. And Jay Garrick even admits, like, yeah, man, I really am. And I think this is sort of Barry's way of realizing, oh, yeah, I understand why you're afraid of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something out of a nightmare. He's not real. So that was one thing that I did find interesting. And honestly, when Iris tells Joe that she was going to get someone to help him out, I honestly thought she was talking about Patty for a second.
My first impressions when they said that, I was just thinking probably, at first I didn't know who they're going to get, but at first I was actually thinking they're going to get Oliver. That was my other pick. I didn't think about that. I was thinking Oliver at first, but I forgot that I don't think Iris actually met Oliver like that often. She's only seen her like once or twice when they're at the coffee shop, but that was my first guess.
Oh, that would have been an interesting one. I don't know. I don't know how supportive Oliver would have been, but it's nice to see mm-hmm. Barry's dad back in the picture, because it sort of seems like, all right, we got him out of prison, now now he's gone. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see him back again and see if he's going to stick around, or see if he's going to come back throughout the season and what kind of a role he'll play, because right now he was utilized in a way to get Barry out of that slump, really, and out of that mindset of just being afraid and kind of thinking like, I can't do this. Like, I bit off more than I could chew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that speech he gave to him pretty much, where I was convicted of murdering your mother, and everyone had to hear the story in front of our friends and family and in front of you. And that destroyed me, that crippled me, that turned me pretty much into nobody after that. And the fact that I had to the only reason why I overcome this is because you believe that I can get out of jail and I was innocent. So this is the time where that I'm going to help you now. So where you're at your lowest, I'm kind of here to help you peak.
You know, we're seeing we're seeing Flash and his group kind of handle the aftermath of Zoom, but we're not seeing what the city kind of feels about that and what the everyday people sort of feel about what's happened. I would definitely like to get like an episode where we see their point of view mm-hmm. and being like, maybe the Flash isn't all he's cracked up to be, and maybe we need to the Metahuman Task Force needs to be a bit stronger and stuff like that. I'm kind of wondering if the city will be, or at least the police force will be, more reactionary when it comes to dealing with metahumans now.
Yeah, they seemed unfazed in this episode. Then again, though, it was just based heavily on just the group. Yeah. Which I would have enjoyed that if they actually showed that as well. At least maybe a glimpse in the news, because it was recorded when he was actually in the
Do you think that'll be sort of a plot device that they might use later on this season? Like, that might be something that comes up?
Well, if he wasn't paraded like that, then no, it wouldn't. But that is a big, big turn, because it devastates morale that way to the city.
That's why I thought, like, from last episode that I was talking about, that's why I thought Zoom's approach was the most like brutal and vicious approach, man. Because it not only destroyed the actual hero, man, but it destroyed everyone that believed in him. Thankfully, Barry has a great support system in his team, because if he didn't, man, that would have been the end of it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, oof, man. I don't know how that city felt after that. That's the only thing. But they didn't put it into the show, so I have no idea.
So, you know, as the episode progresses, we do see Grodd get taken into the portal, and pretty much, we see Harrison Wells use the Reverse Flash suit. And that was a very interesting one, because to me it just sort of seemed how willing the group is to accept Harrison Wells now. Well, I guess the real Harrison Wells.
Well, here's the thing that I actually took it from that episode when I was watching it. They went to the time capsule, which was inside Star Labs. Now, they've got that suit from the ring mainly, or from where they found it. One thing that hasn't been really answered is Gideon, because Gideon is in that same room.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's something that I think I brought up recently, too, that I was wondering if they were ever going to mention that, really, because in the first season, they made a big point of like Harrison Wells going into that room and looking at the newspaper article and seeing if that had changed or seeing if anything had happened. Now, I'm kind of wondering why this that has sort of taken a back seat in this season. And quite honestly, I don't think it might. I don't think it'll be something that they bring up, really.
Yeah, I think they just completely scrapped Gideon. That's the only explanation for that.
They just kind of swept that under the rug, like, yeah, that happened, but we're just not going to really talk about it.
Even though Gideon's from the future, that's the weird thing, and has knowledge of the future.
Has a lot of very valuable information.
Yes.
Which you would think they'd want to get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
But no. But, oh, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Now, like I said, so Harrison Wells does kind of put on that suit. And as I mentioned, to me that felt like that was the team's way of acknowledging him as an equal and kind of trusting him with their baggage. Because essentially that's what that suit represents. Mm-hmm. The sort of the trust that they lost in a mentor.
Yeah. It pretty much shows that if you're willing to take the risk, then we actually are going to trust you with this.
And yeah, dude, overall, the Flash team trusted Harrison Wells. And I don't think it was just because he was the only option. I think they're warming up to who he is. Now that they know his motivation, now that they know he's not really hiding anything from him, they know why he's doing things, and they know he's there to not genuinely help. Obviously, he's got a vested interest, but to help nonetheless.
Well, everyone else still technically hates him. The only one that didn't really hate him is Caitlin. Caitlin's pretty much only, we want to help you. But then it was the same reaction when he was leaving. Cisco said, goodbye, laters.
You go ahead and leave. Yeah. I do not mind. So, yeah, they concoct a plan to get Grodd into the other dimension. And, you know, that pretty much works without a hitch, really.
Yeah.
He gets sucked into another dimension, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Yeah. And then in the aftermath, we do see two stories progress. And two love stories progress. So we see the interaction between Patty and Barry, which I mentioned every episode. It's great to see that interaction. I find it like very endearing. and you could tell Patty suspects something's going on. So I don't doubt that later on this season, they're going to tell her that he's the Flash.
They've been doing this every episode now where there's some sort of weird thing that's going on with Barry. And Patty always seems to actually figure something out. If they're going to keep doing this, it's going to get pretty old really quickly, but it's the fact that they're showing how smart she actually is, like, honestly, and then they make her a little naive with the side of intelligence. It's a little, you got to go one way or the other with her.
Yeah, because at the same time, she's smart enough to figure out these metahumans and their special abilities, this and that, but she doesn't draw the connection between the Flash and Barry and the fact that, I guess... I'm not sure if it's necessarily public knowledge that who the Flash works with.
Mm-mm, not really.
Even though it doesn't seem like they particularly hide it most of the time.
But Joe is the one that seems to know. That's the thing. And Joe pretty much always tells him, like, oh, yeah, like they help with the task force. Even she knew that Cisco was part of the task force, too.
Yeah.
So there has to be a main connection there.
So I'm kind of wondering how that one works out. But either way, the relationship there with Patty and Barry seems to be progressing forward. And that's really cool to see in that I want to know what kind of role she'll eventually take. I think that Zoom might kill her or Zoom might attack her.
I do feel that too, actually. As soon as you mentioned it, I was like, oh, I never thought of that. But yeah, that makes sense.
Because they're building up this great character that you're starting to really like. And Zoom is just the kind of villain that would devastate your main protagonist by killing someone that he really cares about.
Mm-hmm. And also, we actually didn't have that much mention, but is Linda here? Linda not here? Or what's going on with her as well? That's one thing I forgot to mention as well.
Well, what... I'm trying to remember what happened, like what she ended off with. Well, obviously Dr. Light's just hidden, and I don't think that's ever really going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Linda goes, yeah, I'm kind of wondering because she, at the end of the day, she knows who Barry is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if she's still technically around or does she move somewhere? Because they didn't really mention that much of her.
Well, we'll see where that one comes into play. But I think it'll just kind of go into the background and not make much mention of it. So another thing that another relationship that kind of progresses is the relationship between Cisco and Kendra. And they have their first kiss. It's really nice in the coffee shop. And that's when we get our first full, like, view of Hot Girl in the outfit, and you see her face and the mask and everything together, and it just looks so freaking cool. And I genuinely think Cisco's excited about the prospect of dating a flying person, I guess, at the moment.
Well, at first he wasn't, because he thought it was going to be like a villain or something.
But yeah, he was afraid. He was definitely afraid.
But he kind of shrugged it off. This one's like, no, this is cool. Let's just go have our actual date.
Oh, and man. At the very end of the episode, one thing that I predicted, as soon as I think Harrison Wells said, oh, it's a sanctuary for gorillas in my world, I was like, it's Gorilla City.
Yep.
Like, I just had the feeling, like, off the bat, it's Gorilla City. Oh, yes. And Gorilla City from the comic books, or at least from the TV show that I remember, was this sort of, like, futuristic city filled with, like, super smart gorillas. And it was kind of weird because Gorilla Grodd never really seemed to fit in there. He sort of seemed like almost like that city's main villain. And they only had, like, a local police force.
Yeah, and the main difference between this one and the futuristic one is the futuristic one actually is very hidden, and the only way you can activate it is there's some sort of portal that you're supposed to open, and that actually thought was pretty cool. But this one's just out in the open, rainforest, and it seems to be developing from hunter-gatherers to pretty much progressing to almost like the Bronze Age style, as you can see it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you know, it's funny, though. It's like, I think that sending Gorilla Grodd there, because he did get injected with, like, I guess the serums that Harrison Wells, mm-hmm. that Kalen helped develop. So I'm assuming that he's going to get more intelligent and develop some sort of, like, will develop Gorilla City as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that that'll play a part later on, because I think Zoom will utilize that, or Gorilla Grodd will find a way to get back to Barry.
I think so, too. He's going to get way smarter than he normally is, most likely build a device for his head, because that's the one main thing from the comic books, that he wears his device where it amplifies it like 100 times, and he's like really intelligent. I want that to happen. Really do.
I think the next time you see Gorilla Grodd, he's going to be much more of a threat, even more so than right now.
King Gorilla.
All right, guys. Well, let us know what you guys think is going to happen with Gorilla Grodd. And also, what do you guys think of Hot Girl and the character? We haven't really seen much of her, and obviously we haven't really seen her wings or anything like that. So is it something she's hiding? What could it possibly be? So go ahead and leave your guesses or your predictions down in the comments section. Or if you want, you can go ahead and send us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's film-book.com with the subject line Flashcast. And if you want to check us out and check out the kind of things we do when we're not podcasting about The Flash, you can go ahead and check us out at Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/League of Ordinary Gents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or you can check us out on YouTube. Just go ahead and look for League of Gents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Go ahead and have a good one, guys.
Laters.